We're going to call to order this special meeting of Kirby Beach City Council for Monday, May 9th, 2005. What I'd like to do is call Mike Ford forward to lead us in a flag salute this evening.
Council has addressed the issue in my particular situation, and I'm working with the police department, with the fire department, and the citizens volunteer, and it seems to be making a big difference. And for that, I thank you. But I would ask you to think beyond that, because the cause and effect of this situation is out of balance. The cause of having people drive several miles to put up these garage sale signs of all different shapes and sizes and put them up, there's really no punishment for these people to do it. Matter of fact, I was talking to a fellow the other day that put up a sign, and I suggested to him that he might reconsider because there is an ordinance against putting up signs on public property. And he says, you know what? No, they're not going to do anything to me. They're not going to do anything to me. And if that's the attitude, then we're not going to stop people and clean up our city by all these garbage signs that are being put up if we don't think about some type of a penalty for them. Now, I'm not talking anything major because, as we all know, if you came up with a penalty and issued a citation for $25, you know, the word would get out real fast, and this problem would go away for our city. It really would, in my opinion. But if we're not doing any punishment, then the person that's breaking the law doesn't care because nobody's going to do anything. So I ask in the future, the near future, that this city council review this, and I know the statutes are on the books already, but maybe come up with some type of a penalty phase for these garage sale signs. I think it would help our community. I think it would make our city look better, and that's all I have to say. I thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Henderson. Is there anyone else who'd like to address the council during public communications? Seeing none, I'm going to close it and bring it back to the council. This brings us to business. This is item one on the agenda, if you're following along. And this is the continuation of the draft five-year capital improvement plan for public utilities infrastructure projects. And I believe the last time we discussed this, we had ended with, I want to say it was wastewater, and moving into the category of the Fund 07 Stormwater Enterprise Fund. We have City Engineer Gehring to give us a brief staff report.
Honorable Mayor, Council, good evening. Jim Gehring, City Engineer. And as soon as we get our screen up. Okay, thank you. As a continuation of the May 2nd meeting, Council at May 2nd considered four different proposed capital improvement funds, or lists of projects in capital improvement funds, including the Fund 05, which is the Wastewater Enterprise Fund, Fund 06 Water Enterprise Fund, Fund 07 Stormwater Enterprise Fund, and Fund 09 Water Conservation Fund. And my recollection is that the council went through in some detail on both the Wastewater Enterprise list of projects and the Water Enterprise Fund list of projects and made comments on those. And I'm assuming that if the council has, well, let me ask, for instance, if the council wishes to discuss the first two lists of projects further before I go on.
Are you talking about the two that we discussed at our last meeting, Jim?
Yes, Mayor.
Okay. I think we're good on that. We'll just pick up with storm water on 07.
Thank you, Mayor. The proposed projects on the Stormwater Enterprise Fund, and before I go into those in any detail, let me refresh the... didn't we do that last time, the stormwater? We didn't finish that.
No.
Okay. The types of projects that are listed on the Stormwater Enterprise Fund list include extensions of storm drains that were planned quite a few years ago, back in the 1976 Drainage Master Plan, as well as being considered currently in the draft version of the latest Drainage Master Plan. And those would include extensions of storm drains up Grand Avenue from Meadow Creek to approximately 10th Street. And it would also include some extension of storm drain in the Manhattan, the Manhattan area of the city, where we have a storm drain started, but it isn't quite finished yet. And in addition, there would be a storm drain extension on Mentone Avenue, which would extend from South 8th Street easterly on Mentone to 13th Street. I put up a on the And then on Mentone, I'm showing a slide of the extension of the drain on Mentone easterly from South 8th Street. And again, in accordance with Councilman Lieberman's concerns, we could show existing facilities on the finalized mapping in each case. Now, as a matter of interest, this is not actually a project that is part of the storm drain fund, but I thought I would at least introduce the council to it before we got to the water conservation element, because it is a storm drain which transfers water from 13th Street towards the Mentone Basin. The other comment I had on the storm drain list of projects is that the ones that could be funded in the near term would be the portion of the Mentone storm drain extending easterly on Mentone from 8th Street towards 13th Street using CDBG surplus funding, and the other would be the storm drain you see on the screen now using a different fund from the Water Conservation Fund. The other major storm drain improvements would have to be funded through a storm drain user fee, which currently cannot be enacted without a change in Proposition 218. So it would take a vote of the people or perhaps the legislature of the state to put an initiative before the voters to change that law to be able to create a storm drain enterprise fund through storm drain or stormwater user fees. And with that, on that list of funds for storm drain or stormwater enterprise funding, I would simply answer further questions from the council.
Thank you, Jim. Mayor Pro Tem Versaw, I'd like you to start this. I'll come to you next, Chuck.
Thank you, Mayor. By the way, I know that we went through the water and wastewater at the last session, but that stimulated some other questions and some other kind of details I guess I'd like to ask about in those if you're going to give us an opportunity to do that.
Okay. If you don't mind, then let me go to Councilmember Ashton.
Sure.
And let him ask this question. Yeah, Jim, on that project referring between, I think, Manhattan, you said, and Long Branch on South 5th. Can you
yes.
throw that up here? Where do you propose? You propose to add in a storm drain in there for the $80,000 cost? Is that what you're saying there?
Yes.
Where would you be adding in at?
That's the fuchsia line on the slide. In other words, that
so
line
just,
would
run. Got, the storm drain is going to down the center of the street. Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's the approximate location. Would not necessarily be exactly on the center,
right.
But it's diagrammatically shown to be
but
doing.
You'd be catching it off the side of the street along the curbing area. You'll have a
right. It would be on one side or the other of the street to avoid existing sewers
right.
and water mains that already are in.
Because on
street.
The west side of the street, from mid-block all the way down to Manhattan, you'll notice that there's about 3 foot high of. And it keeps getting higher every year of sandbags.
Right.
So they get completely flooded out along there.
And
so
well,
does that, I think somebody else asked you, where does that connect into? Is something else pre-existing?
That drain would connect into an existing drain in Manhattan, right at the southerly end of the fuchsia line.
Okay.
And as Councilman Lieberman asked about earlier, we need to show the existing facility in dash format.
Okay.
But to further that, though, the reason for that fuchsia storm drain on the slide is that we need to alleviate that flooding that you've noticed with the people with the sandbags and so forth.
So if I can kind of just jump right in here. So the fuchsia line you're showing is more or less just a graphic portrayal. Obviously, the details would come when you were designing it as to which side of the street and tying into what's existing, correct?
That's right, Mayor.
Okay. I just want to make sure everyone understands that this is just a graphic representation of the drain between on 5th between Manhattan and Long Branch.
Right. At this stage, we don't have precise plans. They will come later.
Great. Thank you.
Oh, I got one other question I might ask again.
Okay. Jim?
Thanks, Mayor. Mr. Gehring, a couple of quick items, and I think I got the question on this today. On our Project 346, it's the South Grover Beach Industrial Area. I think Councilmember Lieberman brought up that the description here is a little bit incomplete. Comes up, construction drawings were completed for the westerly portion of a...
Councilman Versa, if you look on the screen, you'll see that we fixed that problem with this latest version. And I apologize for that happening. What it was is that in the PowerPoint format, you could type in the description as you see on the screen and it would look fine, but the minute you went to print it, for some reason that box had a limited number of characters in the computer program and it would simply chop off the sentence wherever that limit was reached. And we didn't notice that until after we had passed out the exhibits to the last council meeting.
Yeah,
so I think
it
we've got that
fixed.
It does occur
in a couple of places. It's very inconsiderate of the program to do that for
yes.
you, I think. And I asked earlier in a conversation with you about the status of this, and as I understand it, you don't have any direction or know of anybody else that has direction to have started on the details of the study?
I know that it's being considered, but to my knowledge, I haven't, in my office, we haven't been directed to do that yet.
Okay, thanks.
I'm sorry, Larry? I'm just curious, Jim, unfortunately I can't read that far. Can you read the fill-in-the-blank portion for us, please, where it says westerly portion?
It says, this project entails an engineering study of South Grover Beach industrial area to determine needs and design of a wastewater collection system. Sewer district was studied in 1972, and construction drawings were completed for the westerly portion of Area C. I'm sorry, area construction drawings needed updating and need to be expanded for the remaining area. Did that make sense? Sounds like there's still something missing. There's a period, that's what it is.
Construction drawings.
So what happened was in 1972 we prepared drawings for that area and were ready to go to bid, but then the district was dropped, and so at this point, I think the area would likely be expanded from the 1972 envisioned sewered area.
Okay, thanks.
I guess I'm wondering what if this covers determining the need, I guess, and construction drawings, but it doesn't cover any construction. In part, I suppose, because we don't know exactly what it's going to cost, but then capital improvement plan should include estimates, shouldn't it?
Mayor, I believe we this question came up last time, and I think the theory, one of the theories for the formation of the industrial enhancement improvement area was to be able to fund a project such as this. And so the thought is that since that district was not yet generating a revenue stream, but has been created and should begin a year from now generating a revenue stream, and a year from now we'd be able to budget or to issue debt in that agency area, that if we use this funding source to create what's necessary to go out to bid, that we would be poised to be able to then issue the debt from that agency area. And part of the scope of the project is to determine that financial capacity of the district.
Okay, but I guess I'm still, that's going to be a cost and expense as part of our capital improvement plan, even if regardless of what fund is coming from. Shouldn't it be included?
That's correct. The focus of the exercise on these four funds was to be able to get the information to council as it related to the utility user fee study and the ability for the council to give us policy direction with regard to that, so you could decide how much of a capital improvement plan is appropriate and adjust rates where necessary in the enterprises. That particular funding source is in the improvement agency and would be incorporated into the budget discussion and the entire capital improvement plan discussion.
Which answers another one of my questions. So is why certain items that we know we're going to have capital expenses on are not included in the plan. But it does beg the question about when do we...
I think the 50 miles is slightly long, but I think the 80 cents is correct.
So we're significantly less than 50 miles, I guess.
I think that's right.
Yeah. I guess I was going to ask, it was going to come up at another point, too, exactly how many miles of sewer line we have. I mean, not that it's anything anybody's going to memorize for the future, I don't think.
Well, I don't have the exact number, but I think it's probably closer to 42 miles.
Okay. That would make the budget fit a little better, too, that was proposed. Project 348 indicates this is the emergency wiring in the lift stations, and it says 10,000 per station. Mentions there's four lift stations at 10,000 per station, but our budget is still only $10,000.
Actually, that I believe that project is complete at about that number.
I'm sorry, it's what?
I believe that's a complete project at 10,000.
Yes, it's the last one.
So. Okay, so there's four lift stations. It's not 10,000 per lift station. It's 10,000 total.
Right. It turned out to be 10,000 total.
Okay. $398.
Which one is that? So those last two questions were on wastewater, right? Now we're coming. You're back to stormwater.
Am I?
Yeah.
You're right. Okay. The lift station, I think, is the wastewater station. And now I'm back to The West Grand Avenue storm drain. And I guess I just got to say that I don't understand how we budget a $1.3 million project at $325,000 per year over a four-year period. I don't expect that that's the way you would recommend building it, 25% each year.
I believe that was the expected availability of the funding for the project, and I think we could do it in that segmental character if that were the funding availability.
It would prohibit any economy of scale if we're...
I think you're right. I think it would reduce it.
I guess I would like to revisit that question, and maybe it's not necessary right now, but I think as a council, I'd like to... personally, as a council, I would like to see that West Grand Avenue receive a little more priority, and I think it's really important to our, as we move forward with any redevelopment of the Grand Avenue corridor, this particular storm drain is going to be very important to it. And that's not to say it supersedes any of the other proposals in here, but maybe the council can find other ways to approach this. I suppose for now it's not... I mean, this at least identifies the project and the amount of that we feel it would take to accomplish it now. I'm just concerned about the timing and how we do fund it.
I think those are really good comments, because I have that on my list as well, and I think I had talked with staff previously about this and how it was phased, and I thought there would be a better clarification if we were really saying we want to accomplish from Highway 1 to 4th or 5th and then move down in three-block increments, as opposed to just saying, you know, we're going to do a quarter at a time, and wherever that lands, you know, wherever it stops, we're going to be okay with it. So maybe a little more strategy in laying this out. And then the point you raised about the priority, I think Councilmember Ekbaum had raised that issue before. And so I don't know if that's something we would need to discuss during the budget process as opposed to this evening, but those are really good comments.
I have one last question in regards to storm drain. Mr. Gehring, I guess this is under the conservation fund, but the storm drain to over to the Mentone Basin, I'm really glad to see that prioritized in here as well, but I'm curious about the capacity of the Mentone Basin, where we are now, what impact this line would have on the capacity.
Well, a good question. The Mentone Basin is sized to take a single 100-year storm from the area which is currently tributary to it if all the drains were constructed in the 1976 master plan, which were envisioned then. It's basically a win-win situation.
Does diverting this water over to Mentone Basin, and rather than taking it directly to the Mentone sewer line yet to be built, does that affect our thinking on the sizing of that line?
It hasn't yet, but it probably will, assuming the council believes that's a good scenario.
Thanks.
Is that it? Okay, Councilmember Ekbaum.
I have to tell you, I'm real happy that we have an engineer on the our council here. But also, I'm just really thrilled that we're moving forward with this. I think we're making more progress on our infrastructure with this solid capital improvement program, outlining everything and getting it going, than we've done in years. This is really an exciting time. Larry zeroed in on two of the projects that I'm really concerned about, and one of them was the Grand Avenue thing. But I think the funding for that would all be 218 money. Isn't that right?
Yes, either. There's two approaches. One is the state legislature could put an initiative on the ballot that the voters could amend the state constitution to allow this to be treated the same as water rates are, for example, or the voters of the city could be asked by the council whether or not they would approve of such a scheme to be applied here. In other words, to have an enterprise fund where they would pay fees like they pay for water or sewer.
Okay, and that before we leave that subject, that's a little longer period before we get started on that one. But if, in fact, we as a council chose to put this before our voters to see if they would just agree to pay a tax, and it failed, and then the state went through with legislation that allowed us to just arbitrarily raise it, would we dare do that? The voters have said, we don't want to pay for it, and then you're going to come back and say, well, we're just going to add it on to your bill. I think we better do some thinking about that first. If you want to put it on a ballot that you think might pass or not pass, there's ramifications of what happens later. But anyway, I think there's a much higher priority should be for the Grand Avenue than there is for this Mentone. And I would like to go a little out of order with the stormwater and move on to that water conservation project, which Larry also mentioned, from Trueville down 13th, dumping into Mentone Basin. I'm on the corner of 13th and Grand, and any storm, I can see all of this water coming down 13th Street, coming down Grand, going under and popping up, sometimes several feet high out of the storm drain right in front of Couch Chevron. And then it flows like a river down 13th to Mentone, where it goes down Mentone and creates the flooding problems there. I think it would be wise for us to do this particular project first, the one on 13th going down from Trueville, going down 13th, branching over to Mentone, and seeing what effect that has on the flooding on Mentone. I think it's going to correct enough of the problem that it's not a problem. And I'm opposed to spending the CBDG money, $350,000 or $400,000, on a project on Mentone first, and then doing this other one later that might correct the situation. I mean, not you wouldn't have to do the one on Mentone, is my theory. We have money in the water conservation fund right now to do that project. That's sitting there. We have water conservation. We could do that project as fast as we could design it and take it out to bid. Why not do that one first? See the effects next winter on it. We're going to do it anyway. It's the smartest one to do. It's recapturing runoff for us. I mean, it's our benefit. We should be doing that one the very top priority and not budgeting this other one that maybe is not even necessary and use CBDG money for other purposes. That's a little out of order, but I would like to have that as a consideration when we're looking at the overall timing of these projects. And then talking about the CBDG funding for Mentone from 8th to 13th, Jim, the old project from 4th to 8th was, I'm guessing, $500,000? $450,000,
somewhere
in
right.
There. You're going as far or farther, and it's going to be $350,000 for this part. Why is it so much less for this project?
I want to say one of the things that I took notice of was that there's certainly this is just a system-wide program and there is no priority. And I'm hopeful that when we start talking during the budget process and this in the CIP that staff will provide us what they believe are the priorities and what can be accomplished. And I think, Dave, you raise a really good point. Let me move on to Councilmember Lieberman.
Thank you. Just two, Jim, I would call them housekeeping items more than anything else. On Fund 07, Project 355, just in the project description, just a simple typo on mailers. Since this is a draft, I figured I'd help you out. And then Project 398, the Grand Avenue storm drain, it's another one of those issues where you get your text box cut short, it looks like. There we go. Okay. see, construction. Okay, perfect. Rest of mine are just comments, Mayor. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I think I have two comments, and I would say I agree with respect to the West Grand. I agree with Mayor Pro Tem Versaw, and I had talked about it earlier, as if we can, you know, clarify the segments to where it makes better sense. If there are projects, let's say, propose that 5th and Grand, then if there's a way to extend it to that point, and if in the initial phase we can start to help facilitate reinvestment in our community. And so if we can maybe look at that as we go along in this process, I think that would be a great strategy to approach. I had some others, but I'm going to jump down to Project 371, and this is dealing with developing a Mentone Basin Stormwater Recharge Tracking System. And I'm curious to know, has a baseline been established so that we could, in fact, begin tracking in an accurate manner?
As yet, no, Mayor. That's one of the reasons we want to institute this program. We have no way to actually keep track of the amount of water that does flow into the Mentone Basin. And so we wanted to allocate some funding for putting in a facility and also some staff time to keep track of it.
Okay. And then the final comment that I had, and I'm trying to make sure that I stay on task here and I don't get into budget items, and I think Councilmember Ekbom talked about going out and seeing if the community would be interested in taxing themselves to do the stormwater drain on West Grand as well as maybe some streets. I'm a little reluctant in that we haven't really had a discussion about assumptions. With the respect to, we're talking about a special election maybe next year or this year, depending on what the governor does. I was at a mayor's luncheon in which all 7 cities in the county are contemplating a half-cent sales tax. SLOCOG is talking, mentioned, obviously, transportation funding is in dire straits, and possibly in 08 looking at sales tax as a way to generate revenues to do some regional transportation improvements. I guess I'm just really concerned that everyone's out there with their hands out, and timing probably couldn't be worse, and we're making a grand assumption right now. And I certainly hope when it comes time to discuss this at the budget that we will think about this long and hard, because I got to say right now I'm not certain that I'm one who would be willing to support something like that, especially with so many things up in the air. So I just wanted to make that statement. I think that concludes everybody's comments on Stormwater Fund 07. Did we get everything discussed on that? Do we accept this as presented with some minor modifications?
I had a question. When we accept something, now what are we saying?
I think what the way I envision this is that we're saying what is presented to us this evening is acceptable to be in the capital improvement projects in the CIP. The one thing I did want to mention, and I think Mayor Pro Tem Versaw brought it up, was in fact the installation of the South Grover sewer. You know, whether we fund that through redevelopment or otherwise, it should be in this plan. And if I'm understanding staff correctly, you plan on bringing that forward?
Yes, Mayor. What we were attempting to do was to take kind of out of order or select out of the draft capital improvement plan that is not yet completed those elements that had some impact on the decisions that were before you in the user fee study. And Mayor Pro Tem Versaw pointed out when you were going through the user fee study that we had made a number of approval of what the capital improvement program would be associated with these enterprises, to then bring Clayton Tuckfield back and have him go over what the rate impacts would be.
Thank you for that. Let me go back to Dave's question. When I said, do we accept what's in here, I think what I'm asking you is, given the projects that have been listed under this fund, are we okay with those? Do we think there should be some added? Do we think there should be some deleted? Are we happy with the phasing and things like that is probably something that's appropriate for this evening.
And that was my question. And, very directly, I can say that I found it here. I'm opposed to allocating $426,981 of CBDG money to Mentone. Now, that's in the report. If I support this report, am I supporting that? And the answer is yes. Well, and so I'm also opposed to going out to the public this fall on a vote for 218. And that's one of the recommendations in here, or one of the options, certainly. And so I'm just wondering, when it comes up, when we say, are we all in favor of this capital improvement program packet here? No, I'm not. So I guess I have to vote no. There's a point. Well, and it's not that I'm opposed to very much of it. It's just...
Well, and I think that's kind of where we keep kind of... There's some overlap in that. I think you said at the last meeting, this is just a system-wide approach in which we identify what improvements need to be done and potential funding sources so that we can build a budget with this included. Mm-hmm. But yet, when we talk about the issue of assumptions, which I think we were reluctant to do, that's a huge assumption. Are we, as a council, ready to go out and ask our constituency, will you support a bond, and are we ready to take on a huge debt service? So I don't know if we can discuss that this evening, or do we wait until Tuckfield comes back? I think that's kind of been a whole kind of a quandary we've been in with this process.
Yeah, and I agree, Mayor. I think part of where you may want to go is to say there are we were talking about the fiscal reality check, okay? And the goals you've identified for the last couple of years that upgrading the infrastructure is one of your highest priorities. And so we incorporated that concept into a plan like this one that would, close the gap fairly quickly. And there's a potential fiscal impact to that. And so what you could do is to say this plan, as proposed or as we've discussed, gets to that goal that you're looking for, and then bring Mr. Tuckfield back and say, okay, now what's the rate impact of trying to implement this plan as it's spread out this way? And if we take some of the things off the table or move them farther down the road, what's the rate impact of doing something like that? Till you get to a place where you're comfortable with the combination of things, and then we go out and implement that.
So maybe paraphrasing, or maybe the way we should look at this, Dave, is this is just a draft. And as we go through the budget, we know that this is probably going to change, and you're not being
asked. I understand that, and I agree with that. The problem is that Tuckfield is looking for how much money do they have to raise. Here's $500,000 that I don't think you should be spending, so you're going to raise more money somewhere else to do this, in my opinion. Now, anyway, is that enough?
No, those are good points. Anyone else have any comments?
Yes.
Councilmember Lieberman, I'll come back to you.
Thank you. I agree with what David's saying. I mean, there's certain things in here. You know, Prop 218, I read in the paper that the governor may be returning some transportation money back to the districts, the sales tax votes, the public safety taxes we're hearing about. To me, I'm still hung up on this water meter, this $2 million on water meters. I understand why it's important that we do this, that we're potentially losing $200,000 a year in revenue. Not revenue, that we're under collecting fees. And it leads me to the point is, if we're going to go to the people and ask them if they're willing to finance these improvements and support this, to me, we've talked about this, I think, with the previous council, we might as well lump streets in there and do some major bonding like Paso did and said, do you want all your streets fixed? And while we're in there, we're going to put in storm drains, sewer lines. We're going to do everything we need to do to fix everything. Do you want to do it? And if they come back and vote no, I think it sends us a message. We all say that streets is the number one priority in this community. And I just feel like we need to, if we're going to do this, we need to throw everything out on the table and see what people want to support. Because if they want their streets fixed, we need to get in there beforehand and fix these things.
We're looking at it at this time so that it can be used as a tool to take a look at the rates necessary to cover it. So if we're not going to spend that money, that's going to have a major effect on the results of that rate study, I suppose. And let me point out another one that we brought up briefly but didn't, and that has to do with the slip lining of the trunk sewer. We got $400,000+ in that, and I don't think there's been a clear answer as to whether we really have to spend that money or not. I think the clear answer is that if there's some issues with that line, we need to address them. But I haven't heard anybody say that it's mandatory that we spend over $400,000 to line that that trunk line. And I can't think of any reason why we should spend the money if it's not necessary. And I don't think we should go to the district and ask them, gosh, would it be okay if we slip-line the whole thing for you? I think we should go to the district and say, we want to do the right thing here, but we want to do just the right thing, and that is if there's problems with that line that need to be repaired, let's identify them and fix them. And that's it. And then they should do what's right as well and live up to their end of the bargain and accept that the rest of that line for maintenance, or all of it for maintenance at that point. So there's I've forgotten exactly what the number was, but it's a lot of money.
It's almost 400.
I thought that the last meeting that Mr. Ford had given us some information on that. Do you recall that, Mike? Can you come up and address that issue?
Honorable Mayor, City Council, Mike Ford, Public Works Superintendent. To answer the question, this came up when Grover Beach applied to the district to become a member. Up to that point, we were paying on the amount of effluent that actually reached the plant. When we went into an agreement to join the district, the district board at that time gave us a list of things that they wanted completed prior to them taking over the trunk system. One of them was video and repair any damage. So the number you see in front of you was the result of the video and a cost estimate from a company that does slip lining for our information. That's exactly what that is. Other thing you want to work on? I can't answer that.
Well, let me ask this. Slip lining, it implies that there's deterioration in the whole length of the line. Would require that?
This is just sections. This is about 2,000 feet of the total distance of the trunk system, which is a couple of miles long. This is only 2,000 feet of that system. It's slip lining between manholes that have some damage to the main.
So the damaged areas are limited to this this almost half a mile that's between manholes, and that's what you're proposing, the slip line?
Exactly.
And that's only to address the damaged portions of the line?
The rest of the system showed no damage and was in the same condition as when it was installed back in the 60s.
Yeah. And do we know why there's damage in this area?
A lot of the main is underwater. It didn't appear that the earthquake caused the damage. I would say it has been there a substantial amount of years. Minor damage. This is not a huge infiltration problem. It is just items that we identified during the videoing. Small hairline cracks, some minor root intrusion. There was some damage on connections made to the main through the years in the community service district, not within the city limit of Grover. So there are some issues that we had no control over.
Thanks. That troubles me just a little bit. There's damage that we're going to repair that we had no control over. For instance, that I'm not sure that makes sense to me. Seems to me that with a project of this scope, that it would be appropriate for there to be a meeting of the minds with the district before we do anything as to what the district will. I don't know. Maybe if you went to the district and said, "We want you to accept it, and we think it's going to require some maintenance. Here's $100,000. How about we give you $100,000 and you know, call it even?" I don't know.
On my next report from them, I can tell you about our last meeting, which was last Wednesday, and I did exactly that, and it's on the agenda for June. And I did bring up all the points about illegal connections in Oceano and the fact that we're being treated as a stepchild there after 7 years in the district. And so we've said all things, and it's going to be resolved. There is a hesitation on the part of the staff, I think, to move this forward, but we're going to push it now, and they know it. And I think their idea is to give it all back to the cities.
The rest of us in the past there that it's intolerable to have that continual flooding down there. I mean, you go drive down there today, and you'll still see the sandbags up there. And, in fact, even where they what was it, 8th Street, I guess, was the last deal, the people right along that deal have their sandbags up. So we owe a commitment there to alleviate that problem. It was part of the original system from 75 there. And I think you also ought to look into conservation. But don't you got to remember, if you ever put, and somewhere down the line, we're going to have to get assistance, get the funds to put a lot of these projects through. And that you're going to need their vote. And they may not be too happy to vote for us if we're not taking care of their immediate area down there. They're going to say, well, yeah, you concentrate on downtown or Grand Avenue and so forth and that. So I think we need to get rid of those sandbags as far as that goes.
I agree with you completely.
And the other thing is that I hope you have some, get a little poll over there with the gentleman from Aurora Grandy there, what we discussed at the last meeting there, and turn that thing over. Okay.
I agree. We have to solve the problem on Mentune. I don't think that the way we're doing it is the right way, right order. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem Versa.
Just one last thing. The point about the total cost of doing the Mentone Basin, I think that our CIP should reflect the cost of the project, and then the funding can be identified separately. Just because it is misleading.
Okay, that's a good comment. I think I heard some agreement to my left.
Grumbling, yes. I agree.
Okay, so where are we with Fondo 7? Are we all okay saying this is a plan, not a commitment, and there will be further discussion, and we will have a discussion of prioritizing and funding sources as part of the budget?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to take your silence to mean consent. So we have a consensus. So now we're at Fund 09, correct? And
Mayor,
that's water conservation?
Yes, Mayor and Council, Jim Gehring, City Engineer, back with you again. I have on the screen Fund 09, Water Conservation Fund. And as you can see, that fund deals with a water conservation program, which is public education, TV spots, flyers, attendance of meetings, and that sort of public education efforts to get the public to conserve water. And the next is Project 351, which is the storm drain from 13th over to the Mentone Basin. Council's discussed that at some length. And then 371 is to develop the Mentone Basin tracking system, which we've discussed briefly. So any questions on any of those, I'll be happy to try to answer them.
Any questions of staff? Councilmember Lieberman.
Jim, I'm just looking at Fund 162, the conservation program, funded at potentially $50,000 a year. And I understand that mailings and print materials are expensive. Does this include headcount?
Say again, sir?
Is there staff in this $50,000?
There would be some staff effort in that. And some TV commercials and that sort of thing.
Okay. I'm just concerned. TV commercials, you know, we see the San Luis, we see Sammy the Steelhead, we see all that good stuff already. You know, TV for a Grover-specific issue, TV is kind of a blast when it comes to marketing. And I should like to see us narrow the scope to Grover Beach. That's all I have. I just want to see what was in there.
Okay. Anyone else?
Good point. Mailings. Hand every citizen a letter. It'd be cheaper than your TV program advertising.
Okay, so that looks like that was an easy one. Not a lot of questions on that. And does that conclude what you've presented to us, Jim?
Mayor, that would conclude my presentation, unless council has any other questions.
I think the only question I have is to staff. Do you feel like you've got adequate direction to move this forward and respond to the council's concerns?
I believe we do, Mayor, and I'd just like to point out that the TV commercial we were talking about is more production and be able to run that on Channel 20 and not necessarily on commercial television.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Mayor, I'd be interested in knowing if this attendance at the various fairs includes the Paso Robles State Fair.
Where are you at?
It's part of the Water Conservation Program.
And the answer is yes. Fairs. The answer is yes.
Okay.
Can we go to the rodeo afterwards? I'll volunteer.
Okay. We've got people who are waiting patiently in the audience, so let's move on to our next item.
Before we leave that, Larry brought up one thing that's on this, the industrial area sewer program. I have a poor memory, but I can remember that far back.
So basically the funds were allocated in. As far as you know, no designs or anything preliminarily has been done?
That's right, Mayor.
Okay. Yeah, that is troublesome, you know, as we try and move forward and try and stimulate investment in the community to know that that was allocated and nothing was done.
Yeah, I
would agree with that. Okay. That concludes item number one under business. Let's move to item number two. This is a status report on the Oak Park Boulevard improvements, and I believe Councilmember Reitbaum has a conflict on this particular item.
It's time for me to go.
don't stray too far.
Good luck.
And for the record, Councilmember Reitbaum, the conflict is the proximity of property to the project.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, I think our staff report is going to be given by City Engineer Gehring.
Mayor and Council, good evening. Jim Gehring, City Engineer. And the last time that Council discussed this item was on February 7th, and the Council talked about a number of options for expending the moderate surplus, which had been projected to be left over from the Oak Park Boulevard construction project. And you'll see on the screen an example of, a slide of the area that the Council discussed at some length at that time. And to refresh your recollection, one of the options discussed was to simply take the area in red and to remove it and to repave it without changing the geometrics of the intersection. And that would improve the surface of the street, but it wouldn't solve that bump you get driving down southbound on Oak Park as you go over Grand Avenue. The next option was to take the same area in red and completely reconstruct the intersection and make it smoother riding. Was considerably more expensive. The first option that I mentioned was in the $130,000 range, but then to take and change the geometrics of the intersection so it rides smooth as you proceed northbound and southbound on Oak Park would be a major change in the street. And it introduced some drainage issues where the drainage coming down Oak Park would perhaps flow south over the center line and cause problems. Another option was to add storm drains to that project so that water flowing south on Oak Park could be transferred to South Oak Park Boulevard, and that would take drainage to an area that it wouldn't get to at present and perhaps cause future problems with residents in that area. And then finally, the same project, but transport the water westerly towards 16th Street. But then all of those projects involving storm drains and a major reconstruction of the street intersection were very expensive, ranging from $326,000 to well over $550,000. Next thing that we talked about as an option on Oak Park Boulevard for that funding was to add sidewalks in areas where we're missing sidewalks in the vicinity of Saratoga. And the slide we have on the screen shows those areas where sidewalk would be needed. But there are also some right-of-way issues in that area where the city does not have right-of-way. And while in one case, for instance, in the case of Vic Walker, which is just south of Saratoga, he volunteered to donate the right-of-way. We may have some difficulties with other folks in that area getting the right-of-way for that sidewalk project. And then finally, there was a fellow further south that was not originally known about that doesn't have sidewalk on the west side of the street, and there again, there's a lack of right-of-way, and a potential right-of-way issue coming down the road. In any case, the public improvements and the construction itself was in the $72,000 range just for the sidewalk and without right-of-way, significant right-of-way acquisition costs. And what we said at the February 7th meeting was, should the council decide to go ahead with that particular option, placing sidewalks in those missing areas. And we did then run into difficulties with right-of-way. We'd come back to you for further direction. The next thing that was discussed with the council was the issue of placing these radar speed awareness signs that track the speed of your vehicle as you pass by them, and they display your speed in bright red letters to give the public some awareness of how fast they're going and perhaps slow down the vehicular traffic. And the action that the council took at the meeting, at least according to my recollection, was that you directed staff to get the warrant study conducted for the intersection of Oak Park Boulevard and Brighton to see if that intersection would meet warrants for a signal system or four-way stop and examination. And therefore, a signal is not warranted at the intersection. And not only that, a four-way stop sign is not warranted. You can see the types of tests that they made. They looked at the 8-hour vehicular volume, the 4-hour vehicular volume, peak hour vehicular volume, pedestrian volume, and a whole list of other conditions at that intersection. And all of those particular examinations failed to produce a requirement for a signal. Now, in addition to the TPG study, the TPG study was forwarded to Caltrans for their comments, and Caltrans has reviewed the study. They've concluded that they agree with its conclusions, and they emphasize that the admonitions in the TPG study, which deal with the adverse effects to putting signals where they're not warranted, be considered. And the types of things that can happen if you place a signal where one is not warranted is you can actually experience an increase in accident rate. You can find that people are speeding through the intersection, or the net speed, average speed on the street actually can increase. So there are reasons not to put signals if they're not warranted. The public as a whole will react adversely to a signal that's not warranted in most cases. And I suppose with that, I'm finished with my presentation. If the council has questions, I'll try to answer them.
Does anyone have questions of staff? Councilmember Ashton.
Jim, I haven't read over the warrant study there. I found it quite interesting, and it did reveal a number of interesting facts there. For instance, apparently the traffic on Oak Park, if I read it correctly, correct me if I'm wrong there, outside of the hours from 1 in the morning, I think to 7 a.m. in the morning, is all southbound. The majority of the traffic is. You'd think it'd be going the other way, but the predominant traffic is going southbound. And the east-west traffic predominance is going west. And I found out when they were doing their when I was reading their studies there, they try to blend in, I guess, the combination at the particular intersection there. I don't know how they came up with getting the east-west deal, because anybody in their right mind that lives over in the Grover side does not try to cross that intersection. So I don't know where. And even at that, I think they stated in there that they came within a pretty close percentage I believe that warrant almost passed the warrant deal. And the trend today, it appears to me, is with all the action going on over in Aurora Grandy down there, and especially with the new project they got going over there on Brighton and Cortland, I guess it is, that they'll probably be getting more desire to come out there. So I think somewhere down in the future there, we may be forced to relook at that deal. What's your opinion on that?
Councilman Ashton, I think you're right. I think a time will come when the intersection will pass enough warrants that a signal is warranted. How far in the future that may be, I don't know, but certainly several years in the future, at least.
The other deal that I started me thinking on this, and I know there's some of my colleagues expressed they wanted to fix the sidewalks along there, but if I read that report carefully, we really don't have the pedestrian traffic going along Oak Park there. So I'm thinking, it probably aesthetically make it look more uniform and everything else. I'm just wondering, maybe we ought to divert that money somewhere else. And I'm thinking, we're spending all these thousands of dollars to try to develop the downtown business to invite them to come down Grant Avenue. And I look down there, like, for instance, we say the majority of traffic is going southbound. Well, if you get down to that intersection there, you got two left-hand turn lanes that swing right into Aurora Grande, and then you have this wide open road out there inviting you to come over to Aurora Grande to shop. But you go our way, you have trouble even making a right-hand turn there. So I'm just wondering, how much money is it going to take? What if we use part of this money to eliminate those palm trees down there on both sides of the street? I've talked to a lot of people out there, and that's the first thing that comes on their lips there, and put a decent right-hand turn lane going eastbound and going southbound where we can actually get some of those vehicles out there, because we're trying to get tourist dollars in here. Right now, the tourists that we're seeing come in here are the ones that drive those $300,000 or $400,000 vehicles down the street, and they've been using predominantly either 4th Street or Highway 1. I don't see them coming back. They're bypassing our downtown area because you got such a tightness there that people just don't want to negotiate it with it. What would it cost us to move those palm trees out of there and open that roadway up so we can be like AG is over there and invite people to come to our downtown area?
You know, Councilman Ashton, that was studied in some depth probably 8 months ago, I think. And I don't have those figures at the tip of my tongue, but it was a significant project from the standpoint that the signals themselves would have to be moved to create a sufficient radius to allow a wider left or wider right turn at Grand and Oak Park.
I heard something in the back of my mind there somewhere along the line, maybe it was just listening to one of these meetings and out there, that there was some kind of figures tossed around about $50,000 to eliminate those two.
I think the figure was probably closer to $200,000 in very, very round numbers.
Well, I personally would like to see us capitalize on our downtown and eliminate that blockage here, which I think it tends to turn people off to proceeding further on downtown here after we're spending all this money trying to develop the downtown. Eliminate those two block points and then finish out and the rest of the block all the way to 16th and make it look like a decent street.
Sidewalk work up near Saratoga and on north of Saratoga. And as you mentioned, there's another piece of sidewalk that's missing to farther south. I don't think that was included in it, was it?
You're probably right, Councilman Versa. I think that one 50-foot section was not included. Mm-hmm. But we have a fair amount of contingency in the 72,000. So if we don't run into significant right-of-way issues, I think we can still stay within that figure.
The other issues that were around that sidewalk work up there, there are two cases where there's trees that were had to be dealt with. In one case, you're recommending removing one of those oak trees that's right on the corner, but there was there's some big questions around the one that's farthest to the north. Are we any closer to understanding what?
No, at staff level, at least, we're awaiting council direction to go forward with that alternative before we expend staff time looking into that further.
Okay. That's, I think, a prudent way to approach it. I guess what else I'm thinking I'll save for discussion.
No questions, Councilmember Lieberman? Jim, maybe someone in staff can tell me, has there been any recent contact with PG&E regarding undergrounding those utility lines?
We've recently received a draft underground utility 20A drawings for the Oak Park Boulevard area that we discussed with the council some time ago. So I suspect that over the next several months we're going to see more activity in terms of reviewing and approving those drawings and then PG&E going ahead with that district.
Great. Thank you. That concludes I'm sorry. Mayor Pro Tem Burisaw.
Is there any indication, PG&E had indicated a few months ago that they would they'd be able to construct during the third quarter of this year. Does that look feasible to you at this point?
Pushed out to the fourth quarter.
I'm hearing from Mr. Raper it's been pushed out to fourth quarter, but historically working underground in Grover Beach has been easily done in the winter months.
Okay. Thanks.
John.
Councilmember Ashton.
Something just came to mind there while you're up there, Jim. It seemed like I remembered in the report that they referred to that intersection down there as, was it a two-lane intersection there? And I think you recommended even painting out the parking area along there in red, I believe, which I think was recommended along to council, many councils before us. Didn't you, I think in a previous council meeting here, when we brought that up, you said, well, we mentioned the fact that it's not delineated or going down there, and you say, well, until they red curb that out there, it's not really a two-lane going down there. You can designate it as a two-lane, yet the report refers to it as a two-lane. Is that kind of an assumption that we're going to be redlining that out or something like that? Or like
what happened was in mid-project, we discovered that particular segment needed to be red curbed and realized that it had to go to council to get approval of red curbing. And your council did approve that approximately 2 months ago, I think, or perhaps as long as 3 months ago. So at present, staff is gearing up to get that striping done and the curbing painted red.
That's correct, Jim. The council did, in fact, approve the red curbing on that. Okay. That concludes council's questions. This is a business item. I see there are individuals who are in the audience that want to speak on this, so I am, in fact, going to open this up to the public. Please come forward and state your name for the record. If you are from the public and you would like to comment on this item, you have 3 minutes, and please be brief.
My name is Cristobal Rivas. I said I'm working on 7 languages, so excuse the tongue. You should put some X's up there. I'm a resident at 1667 Grover. Some X's on the like the Beverly Hills crossing or the Mexico City crossings. It really slows traffic down. Oak Park Street, where you had that big dip. I don't know the rest about the subventures or subventures that you guys have going on in Grover Beach and San Luis Obispo County, but that's bueno. We need a crosswalk up there, and some ashtrays have been asked from me. And that's about it for now. See you next week.
Great, thank you.
Gracias.
Johnny, I saw him at 1660 Brighton Avenue. I got this thing Saturday afternoon about 4 o'clock. And I had to take a walk down to Santa Barbara Day, the clinic, and all the way down. This morning before I left, even, I called this outfit in Vice City. I called them in St. Louis, and they wouldn't answer. I told them to call me back, have a cell phone, and I could talk to them. But, you know, constructive criticism never hurt anybody. It's the damn truth that hurts. And I called them in the beginning, and I told them about the convalescent. But this sloppy, corrupt politics has got to stop in this town. We have a right from Grover to get on there, and we have a right to go over and shop. But no one has the right to disallow us that privilege of crossing that street or getting on that street because the light shines in our windows. There's such a thing as blinds and curtains. You can buy those at the store. And I swear to God, don't ever let anybody get hurt up there in that corner because I'm going to blame him because he's the man in charge here. Actually, it should be you people, not him. You should be calling the balls and strikes. It's just like I said, Bobby Knight, I know the rules and regulations. I don't have the education, but I have the common sense and experience. And now is the time to lower the boom. There's a program on Thursday night, and we are always getting consultants called the apprentice. I think it's time to get that consultant to show the finger.
Thank you for those comments. Is there anyone else who'd like to address the council on this item? Seeing none, I'm going to close it to the public and bring it back to the council for either discussion or if unless someone's ready to make a motion. Mayor Pro Tem Vershaw, did you want to have some discussion?
Yes, thank you.
Councilmember Ashton mentioned there isn't much pedestrian traffic, and I agree with that. But part of the reason why we don't have any more, it might be because there's some gaps in the sidewalk, I was impressed by. I think we all got a copy of one of our commissioners, Glenn Marshall, sent a letter that brought up a matter that I think that we ought to give some consideration to. That is, right now we're doing demonstration projects with Grand Avenue to create traffic calming, to slow the traffic down, to enhance the pedestrians' safety down there, encourage more pedestrian traffic, and to let the travelers through there have a better look at what we offer in our downtown area. And Mr. Marshall points out that Oak Park's one of the main entrance roads to our city, and we spent a lot of money to improve the lower half of Oak Park and to provide good traffic through there. But we haven't done anything in the regard. I suspect that before too much longer, when the traffic, we'll be talking about doing traffic calming measures along Oak Park Avenue just to slow people down, and because that is one of the more common things that happens on major highways. And I had asked our city engineer about doing some curb pop-outs around, particularly in regards to the two trees, where we, rather than take a tree out, or in the case of a tree's probably on private property, but we might do a lot of damage to it if we used our straight alignment, if we could do some sort of pop-out of the curb in the parking area that's provided there. Our city engineer doesn't endorse those pop-outs, as he said he wouldn't care for that too much, but I think there's a place for them, and I think this may be a place where they ought to be considered. I took the this afternoon. I ran over. By the way, I went out on Brighton and crossed Oak Park without any problem at all this afternoon, and have many times. I know sometimes it's almost impossible. But there are some examples down there in Arroyo Grande where they've done the reconstruction. Where they've done reconstruction of. Could I get a little help and maybe get this get that up on the screen? Roy Grandy has recently redone Grand Avenue, their version of it, and I think they've done a quite nice job. I think most would agree. And one of the features that they have along there is are these parking lane width pop-outs occasionally. You've driven through there, I'm sure, and seen them. In their case, they've used it to add some landscaping and to provide a bench seat in there. Personally, I find that very attractive. I think it breaks up the straight lines through there. It makes it a lot more has a friendly feel to it. I'm not necessarily suggesting something like this on Oak Park, not to the extent that they have on Grand Avenue, and I don't know about extensive landscaping and benches, but I do think that we could do something like that there that would make it to visitors. It will work. The red curb for the last block, maybe it's the last two blocks, I guess. I think, now that I think about it, we need to get that red curb done, and there's some striping there for lane delineation and all that needs to be added as well. And I'd really like to have us consider doing, if not this type of a bump outs around there that can save two trees that are along that corridor, rather than and we'll be out there planting street trees before long. People, we're requiring street trees all the time, and I hate to go in there and take out in one case at least that one oak tree on the corner is a really nice little oak tree, even though there's two of them. The two of them together make a nice scene. And I guess that's it. Thank you.
Okay.
Staff, I have a question regarding the oak trees that he's referring to. Are those in the public right-of-way? Are they on private property? Are there any issues with respect to safety with the trees in their current location?
Mayor and Council, Jim Gehring, City Engineer. The trees, the pair of trees that are at the corner of Oak Park Boulevard and Saratoga, at what would be the southwest corner, those are both in the public right-of-way. And in looking at them, I think if the council gave staff direction to put a pop-out around those, it likely could be done to save the tree and be able to walk around the tree. Whether that pop-out would become a liability in the future is possibly another matter. The tree further to the north is not in the public right-of-way currently and would be significantly damaged by putting a sidewalk in at a standard location.
So if we were to, say, try and save these trees, would that in fact entail, in one or both situations, putting a public sidewalk on private property?
No, Your Honor, it would be to take and move the sidewalk further out away from the tree into the public right-of-way. In the case of the tree to the north, north of Saratoga, that sidewalk would move out and obliterate the parking spot that would be there.
Okay, and in your opinion, we could do that and still maintain a 4-foot clearance for ADA requirements?
I think we could.
Okay. Do you guys have any questions to my left? Comments or questions? Councilmember Lieberman, go ahead.
Just wanted to address the warrant study. You know, for four plus years I've been on the council, Mr. Weissong's been asking for us to consider this. Asked the city engineer, I've asked staff for 4 years. They didn't feel it was warranted. We finally came to a juncture where we could actually spend some money and get a warrant study done. And reading through this, plus a Caltrans review, I mean, Mr. Weissong, I think we've done due diligence. I know you disagree with me, but I feel comfortable that we've done due diligence on this, and I've done everything I can to address this issue. I do like the ideas that Larry has shared with us on conserving those oak trees, and I'm open to the alternatives.
Councilmember Ashton.
I don't know. My feelings go back to we're spending all this, our efforts currently now. We just got through doing a buxom study there, trying to open up and develop our downtown area there. If I read this report right that's been given to us, that money can be put on contiguous streets there as long as they're affected by this thing. And we already see the trend of the traffic is southbound on Oak Park. I got a feel if you took a study there, you're going to find out most of them are turning left or going straight ahead, and there's going to be very, at least it's been my observation, very few are turning right off of Oak Park. But by all rights, as Larry pointed out, that is a main thoroughfare, but we're not getting the advantage of it because we're congested down there. We should be opening up our gateway down there. I don't see in the future how we're ever going to get monies to tear down something that never should have been put there in the first place. Here's an opportunity to use some money like that. I can appreciate Larry wanted to complete the sidewalks up there, but I think there's sometimes you got to have priorities here. We're spending $30,000 for a buxom study out there, and they say this is your centerpiece there, Oak Park and Grand Avenue, and yet we have it so congested there. It's really uninviting. Well, more people, if they are going, for instance, our current tourists, as I pointed out, our RVers, they're coming down 4th, they're coming off Highway 1, and a lot of them aren't making it back into the city there and spending their shopping dollars there. So I don't know where the funds are going to become to eliminate that, but if you went out and did a survey tomorrow and spent a couple hours over in front of Vons over there and asked what people thought of the palm trees on Grand Avenue, I think you'd be surprised that you couldn't repeat half the words you get back from them, because I have done that in the last couple of years there. So I'd rather see, since we're giving a lot of city money going down to make
park, and I think we would be remiss and irresponsible if we did not complete that connection. With respect to that intersection, Councilman Rasson, that you talked about, I agree. When I was campaigning, and I ask people what do they think of that, and you know, more often than not, they don't agree that those trees should be there. But we've asked the question of, does it meet the turning radius? And Mr. Weissong has advocated a signal on Oak Park, And yet when we were talking about possibly looking at removing the oak trees and opening that up, he came up and very succinctly threatened this council, and I did use the word threaten, to say if you take out one palm tree before a signal's up there, then you're going to have to answer to a higher authority. And I remember that vividly. So we are cognizant of what is going on there, but I think we have a responsibility of trying to make this community safer for not just vehicles, but for people who are walking in this community. So I would like to see us complete the pedestrian connections. I think, Mayor Pro Tem Versailles, you bring up a really good point as far as the bulb outs. As long as we are not creating liability, and if these trees are in a public way, they become public street trees, not private trees, because I get concerned if we are putting public trees on private properties and people who are pruning these trees hurt themselves and then they want to sue the city. So as long as we can address that issue, I'm okay with it. I'm curious to know what PG&E is planning on doing, because I want to make sure that we can underground those utilities, because I think that starts to enhance the Oak Park corridor. Mayor Pro Tem Versailles, you talked about traffic calming. I think the radar sign is also part of that traffic calming. So that and maybe the bulb outs would be a great thing to do as far as traffic calming. Let me throw something else out at everyone, and I don't want to confuse the issue, but as long as we're throwing these things out there, you know, Oak Park south of Grand has a landscape median that controls turning movements. Has anyone even thought about a landscape median in North Oak Park so that, you know, maybe people coming out on Brighton can only make a right turn instead of trying to turn left? I mean, as long as we're talking about these things, let's put it out there. So I think Councilmember Lieberman, you talked about doing the warrant study. And I know I had talked with Mr. Wysong several times, and I do believe traffic is an issue out there. But I'm willing to trust the experts, because I know Mr. Anderson did not prepare this study. I know the folks at TPG. They are credible individuals who have a license to put on the line, and so they have no reason to falsify information. So I'm comfortable with the findings of the warrants. And at this point, I really would hope someone would form a motion and move us forward.
Mayor, I'd like to take a stab at a motion. Being that the warrants were not met for a traffic signal, I'd like to move that the balance of the funds be spent first on completing pedestrian improvements along North Oak Park Boulevard from Grand Avenue to the northern limits of the city, with upgrades as necessary for installation of ADA ramps, including the design consideration for, Larry, what'd you call it? Around the trees, what was that called?
Bump outs. It's a real technical term.
Bulb outs. Then spend on installation of speed radar signs, and that any remaining funds be spent on resurfacing the Oak Park Boulevard Grand Avenue intersection by grinding and overlaying to smooth it out, but not change its profile. And I stole a lot of that wording from page 4 of an old staff report, I believe dated January 3.
Mayor, could I ask the motion maker if he would include in that the red curb, painting the red curbs and the lane striping?
I thought we'd already made that decision.
That's already
done.
It's not done, but it's already been directed.
Yes.
Thank you. I'll second the motion.
Okay, I have a motion by Councilmember Lieberman, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Versailles. And there's no resolution, so this is just a voice vote. Is that okay? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Okay, motion carries. That concludes item 2 on our agenda. This moves us into closed session. We have one item on closed session this evening. That item, actually, you know what? Let me back up. Welcome back, Councilmember Ekbom. And I think it's not on the agenda, but what I'd like to do is have some council communications. And I think you...
Thank you, Mayor.
Something you wanted to bring up?
I would like to have the council discuss putting something on the agenda for our next meeting. And it comes from a request from the... $1.7 million each year. All this is payable by somewhere between 100 and 500 people. The reason is that there's maybe 500 parcels, but a lot of them are fairly large farms that are a number of different parcels. The sanitation district is part of that, and so they are involved in trying to resolve it. They're trying to, a group including the Resource Conservation District is trying to have the county postpone turning it over to the state for a year. And during that time, they would like to research how that they can keep local control and reduce the funding necessary to solve the problem. And so Mayor Rogrande has asked me to, and I believe he's talked to you, John, also about having our city forward a letter to the county in support of postponing turning over the Zone 1A flood control district to the state. And the postpone is for 1 year while they examine ways to retain local control and reduce costs. I have been in favor of this, but I actually wanted to throw in some kind of a caveat where just returning it to the county isn't enough. The county has, for 50 years, hasn't done anything there. We need to say that we need to go forward on solving the flooding problem there. It's now at 15% capacity in a lot of places. So we'd like to see them postpone it, this county postpone, give it to the state, and find out how we can solve the problem with less of a financial impact on those residents in the Zone 1A. So what I'd like to do is have an agenda item or whatever direction we can put on even a consent agenda item, a letter of support for this postponement from our city to the county.
Yeah, and if I could just add on, I do believe there's a study that's being conducted now that they anticipate being done this fall that will come up with potential mitigation and as a way of, at that point, to implement it. I guess they're looking at trying to find grants to help pay for it so it doesn't fall just to 500 property owners or less than that. So
this either that or changing the area of responsible for the funding. If it's in the watershed, it might be all of the property owners from Lopez Lake on to the ocean or off the hillside. So it could expand the area significantly. So they're looking at several options and spreading out the cost and reducing the cost of doing it. We all think that the state is on the high end of spending money. We think we can do a lot better project with less money locally.
Okay. Councilmember Ashton.
I just got to ask Steve a question. I remember a number of years ago, way back when, when I first moved up here, we used to have the, seemed like it was a CCC, used to try to keep a lot of that creek. I think they started up around where Valley U was, and they started working westward there, keeping that creek open there so we wouldn't have a lot of this flooding problem. Whatever happened to that? Did they get shot down by environmental concerns or something like that?
A lot of that is, but apparently the Fish and Game will give some permits for vegetation removal, and they have brought the goats in there. If you notice, sometimes there's a Los Barrios arm of this same flood control area that the goats go through and eat it. But the main problem is just the sediment that has settled in the bottom. It's just dirt. And the first year is basically getting all the environmental documents, and the second and third years, which are $1.7 million each year, is physically getting in there with big excavation equipment and scooping out the channel back to its previous depth. So it's not just cutting out the few little brush that's on the top. It's getting the capacity back into that channel.
Okay, so the request is that we put this on our May 16th agenda to write a letter in support of postponing the turnover maintenance of Arroyo Grande Creek to the state,
yes.
Correct? Is everyone in, do we have consensus on that?
Yes.
Okay. I think staff has direction.
Thank you.
With that, this brings us to closed session on our agenda. We have one item this evening that is public play performance evaluation pursuant to Government Code Section 54957. Employee is city manager. We stand adjourned.